following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
And greetings, friends around the world. Enormous prophetic events will soon begin to occur. You need to get your spiritual house in order. You need to be sure that you are worshiping God in the way He tells you to. In this program, I'm going to reveal to you one of the greatest religious deceptions imaginable. Yet without realizing it, most of you are very sincere. But you've fallen for this massive deception. And this will affect your life and what happens to you and your loved ones in the traumatic times just ahead. You need to know. You need to understand. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, will you follow Christ or Paul? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
Most of you hearing this program right now have absolutely been deceived. Oh, I know that you're sincere. But a deceived person does not know he's deceived. Otherwise, he wouldn't be deceived, would he? Think about that. So sincerity is not enough. Notice what your own Bible clearly says, my friends. Go get a Bible if you have one handy. Please don't just believe me. Believe what you read in your own Bible. Be willing to be taught by the Bible, the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. And what does it really say? Turn with me to Luke 4, verse 4. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." A true Christian will try to live by, through the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, every word of the Bible. But most churchgoers seldom study their Bibles. They read some of it for inspiration, but they don't really study it like they would a textbook on mathematics or history or science. Most churchgoers, polls have shown over and over, are not even able to name all four Gospels. They just take for granted whatever they've been taught. They just follow whatever religion they've grown up in. Does that include you? John chapter 4, verse 23. "But the hour is coming," Jesus said, "and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." People have to be worshiping God, guided by God's Spirit, but they have to worship in truth. What is the truth? John chapter 8, verse 31. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed.'" Now that's the key, my friend. If you abide in the Word of God, not in your imagination, not what your particular church teaches or this other church or other church or other church and all these other hundreds of churches who disagree among themselves. What does this book say? What does the inspired Word of God actually say, and say over and over and over very clearly? Honestly, you can find out if you want to, if you're really seeking for the truth with an open mind. "And you shall know the truth." You see, what is the truth? It's God's Word. "And the truth shall make you free." Free from your wrong ways of life, everything. Free from Satan the devil and his deceptions. What then did Jesus Himself say about how to gain eternal life? How to gain salvation? Did Jesus understand what true Christianity is all about? Did Jesus understand what salvation is all about? A ridiculous question, you say. But what most of you don't realize is that many professing ministers of Christ think the Apostle Paul brought a different teaching about salvation. They know what Jesus said, but they say, well, that was all nailed to the cross and done away. Because Jesus taught one way, and they think Paul taught a different way. And that's not true. He did not, but that's what they try to say. And they have got most professing mainstream Christians to believe and to follow a teaching that is very different from the clear teaching of Jesus Christ Himself. They have. Picture all those churches out there. and different buildings and different practices and different doctrines? Could most of them be deceived? And why are they all split up into over 400 professing Christian denominations, all disagreeing among themselves? Again, think about it. Notice what did Jesus Christ himself say about how we gain eternal life. Turn to Matthew 19, if you would. Matthew chapter 19. And these are the clear words of Jesus in answer to that very question. Matthew 19, verse 16. One came to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And what did Jesus say? Oh, just give your heart to the Lord and make a commitment, make a decision, something like that. No, he didn't say that. Here's what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who ought to know, I think you'd think he ought to know, Christianity is named after Christ, here was his answer. "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Live that way of life. Oh, yes, he elsewhere explained, and the rest of the New Testament explains, you have to do it through the Holy Spirit, through the help of God, through Christ living in you. But the way of life, you've got to develop the kind of character, get this, the kind of character that's based on the Ten Commandments. He said, keep the commandments. And what is he talking about? The young man said, which ones? Some of you might say which ones. So Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, and he began to name some of the Ten Commandments. That's obviously the law he was talking about. And the Apostle James said back in James chapter 2, if you break one point, you break them all of the law of God. Notice what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's turn back again to the clear teaching of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, and beginning in verse 17. This is called the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching of Christ, the very foundational teaching of true Christianity. Verse 17, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And fulfill does not mean do away. It means fill to the full. And he did fill the commandments to the full because he magnified them, as he said he would do back in Isaiah 42:21. He showed us how we ought to keep them. He did set the example that we should follow in his steps, as so many other New Testament verses say. There have been whole books written on that. In his steps, following the example. What would Jesus do? What he did do was keep the commandments, as he himself said in John chapter 15. If you want to look it up, write it down. John chapter 15 and verse 10. He said, "I have kept my Father's commandments." And he did do that. "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks," notice this, whoever now in the future, after Jesus gives this teaching, he didn't say in the past, "whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments." Which one do you think is least? Most professing ministers would say the fourth commandment is the least. They want to change that. They want to worship on a different day. They want to change that commandment all around. And then when it comes to divorce and remarriage, they want to divorce and remarry for virtually any reason, not the biblical reasons. When it comes to killing, well, you know, you have to fight in self-defense or you have to do this and that. And they kind of water that one down. And then when it comes to stealing or cheating on the income tax or a little lying here and there, well, let's not get too strict about these things, often they will say, when you really pin them down, because they do not believe, and their writings are very clear on this point, they do not believe you have to keep the Ten Commandments. In fact, they'll say you can't keep the Ten Commandments. That's interesting. You can't do what Jesus said, according to modern mainstream teaching. But Jesus said, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven." Other scriptures show he won't even get in there unless he repents. "Whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." You are to support the teaching of the commandments of God. He said over in verse 27, "You have heard that it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks on a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Thinking about adultery is committing adultery in your heart, Jesus Christ said. This is not doing away with God's law. This is making the commandments far more binding. A whole way of life based on obeying God, worshiping God, and loving your neighbor as God tells you how to do so. That is the character God wants to develop in you through the Holy Spirit. Notice that there is absolutely nothing in Jesus' teaching, and you look for it, to indicate that God's grace gives anyone license to disobey the Ten Commandments. Grace has to do with forgiveness of your past sins and God's mercy in giving you His Spirit and helping you to obey the commandments. It does not have to do with your being free to break God's law. Rather, hundreds of years after true Christianity began, the mainstream ministers back there in the rightly named Dark Ages began to introduce these ideas. And they have tried to say it was the Apostle Paul's teaching. Well, frankly, the Apostle Paul taught no such thing. He did not teach against God's commandments. No way. At this point, I invite you to write for our fully documented booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity. This powerful booklet will open your eyes, my friends. You will see what first century Christianity was really like and what Christianity today ought to be like. This eye-opening booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity, will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So pick up the phone and call us right now. Just ask for the booklet on apostolic Christianity.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. We were in Matthew 5:19, explaining the real teaching of Jesus Christ. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But didn't the Apostle Paul teach this? Of course he did, my friends. But most mainstream preachers teach otherwise. They claim that Paul brought a gospel of grace. They claim that Jesus' teaching was done away. It was just for the Jews. It was just before the cross. And you don't have to follow it. If you pin them down, they will admit that. They will, and their writings admit that very clearly. They will give lip service to the short version of the Ten Commandments. Many ministers in the world talk about the Ten Commandments and all of this, and they don't want the Ten Commandments taken off the wall in the county courthouse or wherever. But they do not teach that you need to fully obey the commandments as they're actually written and clearly understood from the Bible. They will say that obedience to the Ten Commandments is not required for salvation. Yes, they will say that. That's a very clear contradiction of Christianity, as this booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity, clearly proves. But Jesus said such obedience is the way to eternal life, as we've just said. Who then is correct? Well, frankly, the key, and of course there are many other verses that give this key, but when you understand it, Galatians 2 and verse 20 is a major key on this. I'll quote this from memory since this is my favorite verse in the Bible in one way. I have a number, but this is certainly one of the favorites. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul wrote, and this is Paul's teaching, by the way. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The key is that Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8 tells us, that Jesus Christ will live his life in us through the Spirit. He kept the commandments. He set the example. He is the light that God sent into the world. And through the Holy Spirit, if we really surrender to true Christianity, to the true Christ and the true God of the Bible, Christ through His Spirit will live His obedient life in us. Christ lives in me, the Apostle Paul said. Will Christ keep the commandments perfectly in you? No, of course not. But you will live that way as a basic way of life, and you will grow. If you kept it perfectly all at once, you wouldn't need to grow. But God says, grow in grace and in knowledge. So we do grow. But as a way of life, we're to keep that way of life, the Ten Commandments, as clearly explained in the Bible and clearly magnified in the New Testament. Not done away, but frankly made all the more binding. Jesus himself warned us that heresies would arise, and they certainly have. Turn to Matthew 7 now. Matthew 7, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse 21. This, again, is part of the Sermon on the Mount. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, all these religious people saying, oh, how good it is to know the Lord. They talk about the Lord. They use Christian terms. They use biblical terms. They make a lot of noise. But do they do what Christ taught? That is the key. Please understand. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Are you willing to do God's will? Are you willing to keep God's commandments? Are you willing to practice that way of life? Not perfectly all at once, let me make it clear, but as a way of life and growing in that way of life as you go along. So Jesus said then, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Now the word prophesy is often used in the New Testament for preaching. So this is talking about preachers here, this verse, frankly. Haven't we cast out demons in your name? Most of the modernists will say, well, those are just demons of ignorance and superstition. They don't believe in real demons, but they'll say these things. And done many wonders in your name. And they've, you know, founded homes for unwed mothers and all these things, rather than teaching a way of life to the whole society so there wouldn't be so many unwed mothers and people in jail in the first place. And then I will declare to them, Jesus is talking here, I never knew you. They talk about him, but they don't teach his way of life. But Jesus says he does not know them. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's the way it is right here in the New King James. And the Greek scholars admit that is the term that is used. Lawlessness, breaking God's law. He's not talking about the traffic laws. They just had donkeys and ox carts back there. They didn't have very many traffic laws. These people who teach in Christ's name but teach lawlessness are condemned by Christ himself. Did Jesus say that his gospel was to be changed by the Apostle Paul or anyone else? Did Jesus say a different gospel was to be preached after his resurrection? No way. He did not say that at all. Never said that. For a partial proof, we could give you on and on other proof. But notice Matthew chapter 28 and beginning in verse 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. So this teaching applies to all the nations. Get this, not just the Jews. Baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. He commanded them over and over to keep the commandments, to live by the Ten Commandments, to obey the Ten Commandments as a way of life. He said, go to all the nations, teaching them, all the nations, to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Christ will be with his true ministry. He will guide them and direct them, but they've always been the smaller group. And so he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And he is with us, and he is with me right now, as I'm hoping through God's help to open your eyes to help you realize the massive deception that has affected so many very sincere Christian people. Picture the great cities of this world. Most of these people have never heard the real good news which Jesus himself preached. They haven't heard about the kingdom of God, the coming government of God, based on God's laws. They haven't heard the way of God. Why? Because God has allowed Satan the devil to blind the vast majority of mankind. Notice 2 Corinthians now, the writings of the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. See, they're in the process of dying spiritually and physically too, of course. Whose minds the God of this age... There is a literal God separate from God the Father. The God of this age has blinded... God has allowed Satan to blind these people who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Yes, there is a different God. The God of this world is Satan the devil. And the God makes that very clear. The God of this society, who's in control of this world's, you know, capitalist system, this world's educational system, this world's religious system, this world's political system. That's why we're in all this trouble and heading toward World War III, unless God Almighty intervenes. Turn to Revelation now, chapter 12 and verse 9. John writes, "So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called Satan the devil, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The Bible says over and over that Satan has deceived the whole world. Do you believe this clear statement? Frankly, that is why professing Christianity has set up their version of what they call Pauline theology in direct opposition to the very clear teachings of Jesus Christ. Will you believe what Jesus said, or will you believe their version of what Paul said? Now, he didn't say that, but that's what they say. Satan has blinded their eyes. They don't get it. They don't understand. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they will fall in the ditch together. Yet Jesus' own teaching is very clear and very consistent, my friends. Revelation 12:17 is describing the true church of God that has to flee to safety, and some of those, perhaps not praying and not really studying, will be left behind. "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring," the offspring of the true church of God, "who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is not talking about Jews. It's talking about those who have the testimony of Christ, the true church. But they keep the commandments of God. Notice chapter 14 and verse 12, which is very plain. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments," plural, "of God and the faith of Jesus." Isn't that clear? Yes, this is the faith of the true saints of God. Notice Revelation 22 and verse 14. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." Yes, blessed are those who do his commandments. Again, my friends, Galatians 2, verse 20 is the key. As Paul said, "Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Does Christ live in you? Christ, through the Holy Spirit, must live within the Christian. And through that power, through Jesus Christ living his life within us, literally living in us, through the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us, we can keep the commandments as a way of life. We won't technically keep every commandment every second perfectly, of course, but we will be growing in that way of life. Again, be sure to write or call immediately for your free copy of our powerful booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity. Then you will understand what true first century Christianity, the Christianity of Christ and the apostles, was all about. This booklet really lays it out historically and from the Bible. Remember, this eye-opening booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity, will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So pick up the phone and call us right now. Just ask for the booklet on Apostolic Christianity.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
My friends, do you really want to attain everlasting life? Do you want to be in God's kingdom and fulfill the purpose for which God made you? Are you willing to do what God clearly tells you to do to gain eternal life? Are you willing to follow what Jesus Christ literally taught over and over? then please open your ears, open your mind. Be willing to accept something different once you've proved it. Prove it from your Bible. If you're willing to obey your Maker, do so, even if you have to leave the mainstream. You can't follow the mainstream and get any eternal life. Figure that out. Remember what Jesus Christ said, and I'm going to turn here back to Luke 6 now, and this is a very powerful expression from Jesus Christ, something we need to remember. Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Why do people profess to be Christian, but they won't do what Jesus said? In closing, I want to give you an inspired prophecy which applies to us today, just as it did in ancient times. Frankly, it's a dual prophecy. It was talking about ancient Israel, but as some of you know, we, the American and British descended peoples, are the modern Israel of today. Deuteronomy 4, verse 26, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over to Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Eternal will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations, where the Eternal will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor smell. But from there you will seek the Eternal your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." If you cry out to God, he says, you can find God. When you're in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Eternal your God and obey his voice. This is a prophecy for our day. The ultimate fulfillment is in the years just ahead. When these things come on you in the latter days, when you turn to the Eternal your God and obey his voice. If you're willing to go all out, my friends, and seek the true God and the true Christ and be willing to do what God says, God will be with you and help you and save you. Again, call now and request your free copy of our absolutely vital booklet, Restoring Apostolic Christianity. Then you will understand what the Christianity of Christ and the Apostles was all about. And be sure to make time each week to tune in to the Tomorrow's World program, my friends. On this program, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.